We're back at them. We're now 2-0, win under our belt. This is Ball Washing, St. Louis City SC podcast, and two-time winner of our first two games in inaugural MLS season for City. We're pretty pumped today. A little tired, some of us more than others. Looking over at the co-host here, Justin, how are we feeling after last night?
I'm feeling great. I was just, that was the very long day. I needed a much needed night of sleep, and I'm still tired, to be honest, Jake. That was unreal. The atmosphere in St. Louis was awesome.
It was. It truly was. And we're going to get into it here. We got the agenda that we're trying to approach these with, but really starting with some one-word summaries, some highlights, lowlights, moments of the game from this past match against Charlotte, getting into some player ratings. And then we have an exciting opportunity as well. We're gonna talk to you guys about in between there, and then get into how did we do in our predictions and the Grit Hammer. See if you guys all came out with some money, and then talk about kind of our thoughts on where do we go from here as a club, as a team, to kind of build off this, and see if you have any questions. So hit us up in the comments if you guys have anything. Let's get into it, Justin. So you know, actually, I'll start with you here for the one word summary. We're working on expanding your vocab. Let's see how you did today. What did you feel about last night's game and just overall environment?
So I did look up a couple words. I landed on one that I'm still not that excited about, but better than my last term. So I'm going with, it was just hectic. To be honest, it was with them scoring the first goal, everybody was flying around. We had the energy in the stadium was unreal, but with them scoring, took the wind out of our sails, getting a lot of texts like, oh, here we go again type of thing. And then also, not only that, but the playing style after that, with them complaining about all their fouls, and we'll get into that. Every time they were touched, they were flopping. And so I think the game itself was pretty hectic, in my opinion. What about you?
I actually, at first, I heard hectic. I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. But there was so many stoppages in the play, too. Like, I feel like this game kind of felt like a football game sometimes, where it was like, right. Dude, let's just let it play. Because it kept going, like the fouls and the stoppages, and there was quite a few moments there where it was like, my God, like, can we just play continuously for 10 minutes? So I can see that. It was a little hectic for sure. My one word summary for this game would be poised, and that's describing our team's performance. I think coming into the game, obviously a lot of hype with the new stadium, all the fans, you know, just being a big day for the club. You know, there's a potential for this type of team to kind of overlook potentially the challengers coming into it. And I think this team, especially going down early, like we did, not like that early, but going down, you know, probably unexpectedly, I think they demonstrated a lot of poise and an ability to kind of bounce back from that, you know, in a mature fashion and not let that get to their heads. And then kind of stick the foot on the throat of Charlotte and just kind of put it away. And like, I don't think the buildup and the goals were incredible by any means, but finishing when you have to and putting distance between you and your opponent. And I think they did a good job at doing that. So I think this team looked really poised, and we're going to get into a lot more details coming up, but that is my word, one word summary for the day.
I don't know if they're for sure antonyms, but they're pretty opposite words. I mean, you describe more of the team. I describe more of the atmosphere. So definitely still fair, but kind of opposite.
That's fair. Right. You kind of describe like the atmosphere in the field of the game. I kind of went for the composure of the team
itself. Yes, I agree. And yeah. I think they did that. I think we did. We talked about how we could not let up a goal in the first 15, 20 minutes. And we were poised throughout that as well. So I think they did very well, even and especially when you would say, going down, they were very poised to bounce back. Like that is your heart was probably racing when we score that goal. It's like, oh God, like how do we bounce back from this? And coming away with the dub was unreal.
Yeah, my throat was also sore last night, Topher. Thanks for tuning in, and Iris, welcome again from Dusseldorf. Hope you enjoyed that banger of a game last night. Let's get into the details here. Let's talk about some of the highlights. A lot of good things to take away from this game, I think, and different things from last game. So, but to start off on a similar note, great to see another come from behind win. You know, this team obviously has demonstrated they're going to battle. They're not going to go down easy, and they might go down, but they're not ever going to be out of the fight. So you love to see that from a team, especially one that's a little bit on the younger side, which I'll actually get to here in a little bit. But you also saw a different type of formation set up this time. I don't know if anyone kind of picked it out, but obviously Rasmus Alm did not make the start this go around, and we actually opted for Gioacchini instead, which kind of elevated what used to be the right winger position to more of a second striker. So Klaus and Gioacchini kind of played off each other, and you saw that, and I thought it looked really, really good and dangerous, so I could see them going back to that. So we had some tactical variations. So obviously Carnell, you know, had some thoughts with probably the coaching staff and said, let's maybe go for this approach for Charlotte. So I appreciated that.
I completely agree. And I would say not only with the tactical formations, but when the ball stopped, like when the play stopped, which it did a ton, there were 30 total fouls in this game. These set pieces from Edu Leuven, either free kicks or corner kicks, he absolutely whipped them in, I would say. And we have some big boys to give some aerial threats. So that's exciting to see going forward as well that, hey, when some of these games do slow down and a very physical style of soccer in the MLS, we have a guy that can deliver. So that's exciting to see as well. And then also not only just with kicks, but throw-ins. Every guy, either we had launch throw-ins. Who was the long throw?
Nowinski. Yeah.
Nowinski can throw the ball over his head 40 yards, which is insane. But then not only that, but especially with today's style soccer, just grabbing a ball immediately when it goes out of bounds and getting it back into play. The guys were incredible at that, and puts the defenders on their heels. So, and essentially still, and I'll lead you get you into that. That is that energy drink style soccer, just always keeping it upbeat and throwing long balls in, essentially making throw-ins corners. So it's very, very awesome to see from our guys.
Pressure everywhere you look. And I saw it kind of epitomized with the early slide tackle from Gioacchini on the goalie, and which generated a great chance for Klaus. So, I mean, you love to see those living examples come through. I thought Berkey had a more pronounced performance in this game. Obviously, he made his inaugural save, finally being tested with something that he could get in front of. So, congratulations to Berkey on his first save. He also had some insane javelin throws. I'm going to tell you right now, Justin, I know the Battlehawks are playing today. McCarron might be on the hot seat, dude. Berkey's coming for him. This man can launch the ball. I didn't know if it was him or Josh Allen back there sometimes.
I also love his attitude. Yeah. I love AJ McCarron, but we're going straight to the NFL, not the XFL. We're not starting mid. We're not doing triple A stuff. We're going straight there.
He was on his grind too. I mean, he had a little mix up with Enzo Capetti in the first half. And obviously so, Enzo has already made himself probably the most hated player for our team, and we'll get to that in the lowlights. But I loved seeing him mix it up, dude. This guy's just got veteran experience. He's not going to take crap from anyone.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I think the one thing that he was not attuned to as much in the game, but everybody else was, well, I already mentioned it, the 30 fouls in the game turned into 8 yellow cards. And there was 5 for them, 3 for us. So we were on the better end of that. But we each had 15 fouls, which is surprising to me because it felt like every time we touched them, someone was going down. So I would like for that to be a little bit cleaned up. And that's not on us. That's completely on Charlotte. So hopefully going forward, these games are a little bit more free-flowing. But I will also say, even with that, we were still extremely strong on the offensive front. 15 shots with what? What do I have here? 11 shots with 5 on goal versus their 6 shots with 3 on goal. So Berkey did have his second save as well. And then talking about that's that right. as well. Looking when we go into XG, we had 1.7 XG compared to their 0.8. So we really put away our chances that we had, basically saying that we probably had enough chances to score 2 goals, but we scored 3. And that's including the PK by Leuven, which was 0.79 XG, which I thought we always mentioned, Jake, that like a PK was like pretty much a 1. Why is that lower?
I did some digging on this, and I guess there really never truly is like a maybe like a 1 would be like an open net. You beat the goalie and you dribble it into the goal, basically. Yeah, that'd be like a 1 flat. And a PK, you know, definitely still an easier opportunity, but not easy nonetheless. I mean, goalies save those sometimes. So yeah, that I want to put in there because people, I guess, I think everyone kind of struggles to like grapple. What is XG? Like
it's expected goals. Yeah. So I guess basically you have a 79% chance to score that PK. And I'm assuming that's like Leuven versus the goalie, not just like every PK is 79% because you put like Messi probably like 90% or something like that. Yeah.
Correct.
I agree. Makes sense.
Right. And then you see like Klaus's opportunity. And I think I had his actual opportunity for how much XG that his goal was. I want to say it was like a 0.2 or like 0.3 or something. I'll pull that up and I'll give that to you all. But that just kind of demonstrates the value of what that XG is. So not doesn't tell the whole story because Charlotte had 0.8, yet they came away with 1 goal. But they converted on a tough chance. They put that together well. So we definitely dominated the game in terms of chances created and quality of chances created. So I think a deserved win. And my last couple of things I'll hit on are a couple individual performances that I appreciated. I thought Gioacchini had an incredible game. Him as a second striker, I think, is something we will probably go to more and more, because I think he and Klaus combined really well. I also love Blum again. Blum had a phenomenal performance. You saw him popping up everywhere. The guy was tenacious, both in defense and contributing on the attacking side. And then Adeniran. I loved seeing the Adeniran cameo at the end. He almost looks like another version of Klaus. Like, the guy is massive, and he was causing trouble.
I saw it when he was subbing in. I'm like, Jake, who is this? I don't know. We talked about Samuel Adeniran. I was just like, I'd never seen him physically in person either. 6'4", 201 pounds. Yeah. And he moves like lightning. The man is huge. Yeah. It's insane. The man's bringing off the bench right there. And I love it.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is the environment, obviously the stadium, the fans, the atmosphere was incredible. The TIFO was awesome. The aerial shots, if you haven't seen them, of the stadium in the game last night, absolutely incredible. Stick those straight into my veins. It just makes you proud to be a St. Louis, and it was a great, great night for the city.
It was awesome, I would say, from the atmosphere at the pitch before and after. We have some videos. Oh, yeah. We'll post those up. And then also in the stadium, the amount of people that we saw. We saw a couple of the former guests that we had. We saw Jim. We saw Tom.
Yep.
We saw TK. We were hanging out with Bill McDermott before and after the game, too. So seeing everyone just being there, everyone could not stop smiling. It was awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to Section 203. Awesome, awesome section to sit in. But let's get into some lowlights. I kind of thought the ref didn't really have a great control on the game, especially like on the corner kicks. It's so annoying to see. Like, I see like the scraps going on. The scraps always go on in the corner kicks. Everyone's kind of pushing and shoving, looking to assert their position and stay there and get into a quality space to receive the ball or challenge. The ref was always stopping these corners to like make sure no, there's whatever. And I get you have to do that sometimes, but like also he called. I want to say he called so many fouls, and like some things I think you can let go. And I know you got to manage game state and make sure you're being fair. And I don't think it was overtly favoring one side, so I'm not like bothered by that. I just feel like when we talk about a ref at the end of a game, it probably means you weren't doing a great job. And I'm not one to just always complain about that. So I kind of feel like he was a little bit over involved sometimes. I also do think, Justin, I want to talk to you about this, is that I was last night more so than Austin seeing our defense exposed a couple of times, where either a good passage of play came from Charlotte or they broke our press and they countered quickly on us, where we had not as many numbers back. You have guys just running full speed to try to get to defend, having to make a last ditch tackle, whatever that was. Definitely saw some areas where I was like, whew, we look open.
So, and we talked about that a little bit during the game. And the highlight of that is teams have not played through us. So I would say from just regular soccer, not counterattacks or anything, we look strong from that standpoint. But it is very worrisome, I would say, not even just a little bit. On some of these counterattacks, we probably will have to rely on Berkey a lot for not fixing this. He's going to have to make more saves than just the two he's made so far. But we do look exposed, I will say. And I think that's kind of a part of the energy drink soccer. Like, we're going to be high pressing, and it's all about if one guy is just a step late, then you're completely out. We talked about it with a couple of people that are around us. A lot of those as well, if you see the counterattack happening in their half, you have to end it. You have to foul the guy in their half. Yep. You can't leave it up to Tim Parker. Tim Parker had a huge slide and ended up getting a foul, but actually it looked clean on the replay. But yep, you cannot make that man make the last ditch effort. It's got to be stopped by a midfielder or a forward back in their third. But it is a little concerning, to be honest.
I mean, only other things I think I want to talk about are Enzo Capetti. He scored the goal for them, which was a good header. The guy was so annoying, like so annoying. Like the whole game, he was always fouled. He was always complaining. I know we talked about it on the Charlotte show we did, Justin. That's kind of like their guy. They're hinging a lot of their bets on this year for whether or not they could make
it. That kind of sucks for them that's their guy, because he was the most annoying player to watch. That was so frustrating.
I also worry just a little bit about two things. One, and then both are around creativity. Ostrock still feels a little bit missing in action. I know we're only two games into the season. I do want to give him time. I'm not going to overreact right now. It did feel like yesterday with the whole tactical variation going to the 4-4-2 that he kind of got lost in the numbers and in the shifting. And I just didn't really see much of him still. And I really feel like he was touted as the guy that's going to provide a lot of our creativity and quality chances. So I could see them rolling again with this lineup that just came out and maybe swapping him out and seeing what else we can get out of, you know, Alm or someone else. So I worry a little bit about Ostrock, about him getting involved more. And then also great that we're getting these chances where these players just pass the ball to our feet and we're in on goal from the opposition, but not always going to happen. So don't get used to those happening. The fact that we've had two just happen like that, give us credit for finishing those. Those aren't just gifts, but they're put on a platter. And you can't always count on those. So all I'm just putting out there is like, it's not a low light necessarily, but it's like we're not going to always be able to get these. We're going to need to be able to create our own, you know, really, really quality chances. And we do, and we will, but having won a game is not realistic.
No, I completely agree. And I'll add one last low light, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's our wingbacks, Jake. We talked about it a little bit during the game. We talked about it with the season ticket holders around us. No one's playing through us, which is down the middle, which is great. But I'm a little concerned about Nowinski and Nelson. And you've given high praise to Joachim Nielsen, who will be coming on once he's back from his injury. I think once he comes back as the center back, I think we could see with how well the Kyle Hebert's playing, I wouldn't mind pushing him to the right or the left. And we kind of go from there. And then, honestly, or you throw Selmy or Pedro coming in. So I could see a lot of changes coming forward with Nelson and Nowinski, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I could see. I think we do have some flexibility there for sure. I don't think I would go in so far as to say that they've been. I think they're playing a tough position because we force a lot of our attack to the middle and we have so many numbers pushed up that they're constantly on their hind horse to get back because these long balls are coming down their throats. So I think it's a tough position, but I get what you're saying, and it's good to have options, you know, on both sides of the flank there.
Agreed. I think that kind of has with the comment you showed on the screen. Yeah. I don't see how this team won't burn out in a few months with this kind of pressing football. Hopefully we can have the depth for it. I think we do have the depth for it. And I'm assuming that with this style of soccer, we can actually, I'm assuming these guys are just training their butts off and running and being used to keeping this high of energy. I will say, I think everybody looked like they had the legs for it last night. There was no one that got burnt because of where they were in a fitness sense. And then also bringing the guys on, it looked like everybody just kept bringing high energy. So I do think we can sustain that.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, you'll need that down the road. I mean, because you're going to start having more games with US Open Cup, and then you'll have no breaks with that, the League's Cup as well during that month long break in July. So we're going to need to have it. And if we don't, we'll be exposed for it.
And we're going to have a couple Sunday, then Wednesday games coming on down the season as well. So
yeah,
it could be some quick turnarounds.
Player ratings, Justin, let's talk this before we get into the exciting thing I kind of talked about in the agenda. But, I think my player of the match, I don't think anyone was just awful today either. I don't think anyone I would say needs to come out. Maybe I could see Ostrock changed out on the next game just for trying something different on the right side of that midfield in a 4-4-2. So four defenders, four midfielders with Blum and Leuven in the middle, and then left side Stroud, right side Ostrock. Maybe you bring Alm in. They did that at the end of the game. And then Gioacchini and Klaus up front. I thought Klaus and Gioacchini were like a 1-2 punch up there. I was really impressed with them. I thought Leuven and Blum dictated the pace of the game. Both of them were popping up on both sides of the pitch, both defense and forward. I love, love, love what I'm seeing from them, almost like a little like double pivot where you see them kind of go forwards and backwards each. But no one really stood out as awful. I thought Tim Parker had a really strong game too. And those are kind of like my players that I thought had really solid performances.
Dude, man of the match for sure is Leuven again, not only from the play that from free flowing, but also his set pieces. I think he has been awesome and something that we knew that he was going to be able to bring, but not this well. So these first two games for him, by far, my man of the match on both. I would agree. I don't know where you got this graphic that you have in our notes, but you can see our center backs both had a 6.8 rating, which is the lowest out of everyone on the team. So it's just one of those things. We're fine. We're deep enough. I'm not concerned, but I could see some switches coming in the starting 11.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. But before we get any further in this agenda, I wanted to do one thing for you all. So we're working with a partner in Nyko Sports, and they have a super, super cool commemorative soccer ball to kind of commemorate this entire inaugural season. And we have a special deal kind of running with them. So let me pull up that ball for you all so you can kind of see it. And for those listening to it. Sorry, I will put out the graphic of the ball on socials and make sure you all have access to it. But
and I think this thing is pretty sweet, to be honest. It's one of those things where, hey, if you were there, like I know like a lot of people back in the day would keep like their physical tickets and frame those and keep that at their house. But now with it being everything on your phone, pictures, videos, having your phone as well, having something physical to put in your house, maybe put a little showcase with something in some kind of a glass box. This is the thing to have.
It is. And now you can see it on your screen if you're looking at it. But so this is from Nyko Sports. This is the commemorative ball. And they just released this. It's beautiful. It's the inaugural season ball celebrating STL City SC. They're only making 5,000 of these ever. So each one is going to come with a certificate of authenticity. And they're the perfect kind of way to celebrate, you know, your fandom and this team's great expansion into the MLS. So these are the only collectibles for our club currently on the market. The only ones. So make sure you all, if you like this, we dig it. Definitely should go ahead and go out and get yours. And for you all, since we're partnering with Nyko on this, you can use the code BALLWATCHING, all one word, to get $15 off at checkout at nykosports.com. And that's code BALLWATCHING, again, for $15 off at nykosports.com. And go get yours, man. I mean, this first inaugural season is only going to come once. You might as well have something to kind of remember it by. I mean, we're going to have the memories for sure, but why not actually have something tangible as well?
And for those that can't see it yet, and you will go check it out after you listen to this, it's cool. It's got the stats of the club, when we were founded, the stadium, what league we're in, what day we had the game versus who we played and everything. So it's something that you will literally not forget. So I would definitely check it out.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get back to the agenda. And we've got a couple more topics to get into with you all, but really, I think we wanted to hop to how we did, Justin, on the predictions and the Grahammer. I think a lot of wrongness across the board, but generally right, at least in the predictions realm. So let's start with predictions. Justin, you and I both said win. So we were both on the money there. I said 2-1, which I was looking pretty good for a stretch there. And you said 1-0. There were a lot of goals in this one, Justin.
Yeah, the Grahammer was the under 2.5. So I apologize for everybody there with 4 goals. And to be honest, Jake, I don't know if I'll ever take the under again with this team. If we're putting this many chances, I know, yes, we did have a couple where it's just like given to us in the past 2 games. We're putting those goals away. But I don't know how I can take the under when we're putting 11 shots with 5 on goal. I mean, that is going to score us probably at least 2 goals a game. And we're looking good. And then obviously with the energy drink style soccer, we're going to have some breakdowns and counters. So I don't know if I'll ever do that again. So I apologize to everybody for that. But I will say, with us predicting the win, I hope you put money on the money line. That moved significantly.
Yeah.
I think when we had this podcast for the preview, it was plus 155 on Tuesday. Come game time, it got down to plus 120.
Yep.
And then I threw on the money line and also the draw no bet for City, which means if we draw, then there was a push. I got that at minus 112 before the game. That got up to minus 175.
Wow.
So I don't know where Vegas is still trying to figure us out, which was insane to me. And one thing that I do wish we could talk about in some of these bets was individual performances as well. When we do our previews, it's too early in the week. They don't put out like goal score props, stuff like that. I looked at it before the game. It's insane to me that, I'm blanking.
Glover.
Glover. I cannot believe that he is our second highest odds to score a goal. The man's not even on the team. So like you can tell that Vegas is still trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And we can definitely make some money on this. So keep looking around. I apologize for the under 2.5. I hope that you hammered either the money line or the draw no bet, made some money there. I definitely did. So we're still up money.
We are still up money. It is crazy to me that, you know, for a machine like Vegas and setting these odds and these big, you know, people like DraftKings and FanDuel, that they, at least we're looking at DraftKings lines. I mean, the fact that they're that far off in terms of like, I think it's Klaus was number one, most odds for City. And then Glover is next. It's like, what are you guys looking at? Because he's not even on the match day roster. And hey, he will be eventually for sure, but not today.
I was going to say, I think I sent you the screenshot of it. Let me see if I can pull it back up. Was he behind Capetti to score?
He might have been just behind Capetti.
No, he was in front of Capetti.
It's just like,
so I'm looking at it now. We had Glover at plus 220 and Enzo Capetti, who is their starter and main guy, was plus 250.
It's ridiculous.
What are they getting from King?
It's the Wild West, man. It's the Wild West. So, hey, you all, I mean, take the opportunity while it's here. Drive across Illinois, or if you're in Kansas, definitely put some money on that kind of stuff, because we're going to have these coming, you know, every week, at least a little bit in terms of our grammars and our thoughts on this. But clearly, someone's not tracking MLS like they should be.
I'm not going to lie. If there's a way for me to put that Caden Glover won't score, I may throw my non-existent mortgage on it. It doesn't make sense. And I will do another shout out to Jake's dad. Another $100 on the money line. Let's keep it rolling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Justin. So let's pivot into the last couple minutes here. Let's give some kind of future thinking thoughts. And I know we're kind of getting on the spot here, nothing prepared for this, but seeing what we have seen these last two games and having our first home game, what are you looking for this team to do the rest of the season, or just kind of moving forward? And it could be from a sporting perspective, it can be from like a stadium and how hyped you are for the city perspective. What are you kind of looking forward to, or how would you, you know, address the locker room if you were in the coaching staff?
To be honest, I still, my biggest thing is we need to figure out how we're letting these teams counter. And I think that's something that we'll figure out in practice. And I will say it's probably a chemistry thing, to be honest, Jay, because with this high pressing style of soccer, you have to be there. If you're a step late, it could mean a goal. And it does mean a goal, honestly, for our team. So I think that's one thing that they need to continue. And that'll just come with time. So I'm still not exactly worried from a sense of how our style is. But the only thing I am still worried about is really looking at our wingbacks. And I think some of your Pedro, or when we get Nelson back, we can push out Parker to left or right. I think that'll be helpful. I'm not worried about our center mids with Leuven and Blum. I will say also, I still saw a little bit from Joao's kind of mentality on some of these things. I would like to see that picked up. And I think that will hopefully, I don't know if that will come with time, but maybe a discussion that will be had in the locker room. But I don't know. I think we looked great from a home perspective. Now we go back on the road to Portland. So we need to continue to bring this energy, and I think we will. What are your thoughts?
I agree. To your last point, especially, I think Portland will be a big test on the way game next weekend. For me, I think it's a bit of just finding the right balance with this team. I think there was so much hype going into the season, and then you're counteracting that with everyone kind of crapping on us and all the predictions and all the power rankings and all the what's going to happen to them this season from a sporting perspective. So as a coach or someone on the staff member, and you're hearing it from the players, so clearly someone's touching on this, that, you know, this has been a hell of a start to the season, one that many people wouldn't have put us to do. So be proud of what you've accomplished thus far, but let's not be content. I think let's continue to push. Let's take nothing for granted. We are here because we belong here, and our goal is to be competitive in every match we're going to play. So that's, to me, the message that should be coming from the coaching, and I'm sure it is right now. You're hearing it in some of the press conferences from the players, that let's continue to build our team chemistry, build on the style of play, and we'll be able to accomplish great things, but let's not hang our hats on we go to Portland next week and we lose 2-0. Like that doesn't mean our season's over because we just lost that, or that we're not a good team. I think we've proven that we can hang. And if we can hang, we can win games. So what I'm saying.
I will say I came off a little negative as well. So I do want to revert kind of what I said. This is only just positive criticism. Like, we are literally a 2-0 team. So this team is doing extremely well. I'm just trying to talk about things that we can build on. So I am elated to say that we are 2-0 in our first MLS season in the game last night and everything. So I will say the boys are playing extremely well. We're trying to be nitpicky and how we can get even better. And that's just probably being a little selfish right now, but hey, let's go 3-0 at Portland.
Absolutely. I think there's a possibility there. Like, take this momentum and bring it to you. Book a seat for it on the flight to Portland and just use it. Like, put that into the game. So I love what we have going. And as a fan, last night was just an absolute gift. And a shout out to the ownership, you know, Carolyn Kendall Betts, the Taylor family, Jim Cavanaugh family, you know, Tom Strunk as well. Like, what an experience. It was just such a cherry on top to all this waiting, and especially the last week's win, just to be at home and celebrating with your fellow St. Louisans on what was a beautiful, beautiful day as well. Like, thank God for what happened with the weather.
The weather was incredible. We had the Clydesdales downtown. It was awesome. We were at the pitch. Shout out to Blaze. The pitch absolutely killed it. They were overran. They were at capacity when we got down there at like 3 o'clock, literally at capacity the entire night. The staff was incredible. Security did a great job. It was unreal. The atmosphere could not have been better.
And for anyone that's tuning in new, or for those that are existing and you guys have been listening to us for a while, welcome in. Welcome again for those that are back. We are just getting going here. I mean, we're two games into this season. It's a 34-game season, at least with the longer playoffs now, and the longer playoffs on top of those 34 games. And then we have U.S. Open Cups. We have, which the schedule hasn't been announced yet, we have League's Cup coming up. So we're just getting started here, and we're here to bring you all, you know, hopefully two episodes a week, looking at a preview, looking at recaps, and having some fun on it. So, like, shoot us your questions, shoot us your comments, and we'll hope to address them. And in the meantime, follow us on socials. You see our handles down there, but at BallWatchingSTL, at Twitter, at Instagram, and then on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to us or ring the bell for notifications. We're going live like this. Love to get people in the room and interacting and having fun, but really appreciate you all for joining in this installment of Ball Watching. I'm looking forward to Wednesday, man. Got a big preview coming up with Portland on the horizon.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, like I said, this is a dream start for this team, and let's keep it rolling.
Absolutely. All for City, man.
All for City. Let's go.